Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Sandra.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast.
This week's episode is Nick and Nora Sit in Nancy. This is Emily. I will be doing the summary this week. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, good luck.
Yes.
Okay. Rory's first day of her junior year at Chilton. Luke gets a random call from his sister. His nephew's coming to stay. Rory tries to make peace with Paris, but ends up getting the wrong time for the Franklin meeting and shows up late, ending up with a crappy assignment that she crushes, which then gets her an interview with Max. Lorelai invites Luke and Jess to dinner. Jess immediately likes Rory, steals a beer from the fridge, and then fights with Lorelai and disappears. Luke then also fights with Lorelai. Rory does the interview with Max. Lorelai is supportive. Jess steals Beth's gnome and does something to Taylor, and Luke pushes him in the lake. The end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you did it. I would say no point there. That's a clear win. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, did I get I got everything, right?
Yeah, you got everything.
You had 1 second to spare.
Yeah.
Guys, I prepared.
Wow. Okay. So throwing a little shade.
Well, to be fair, I did not prepare last time.
No worries.
You also talked as fast as Lorelai, so congratulations.
I'm not gonna lie, I was always proud of how fast I could talk.
Maybe that's what this is training us for, this new segment. We're just learning to be even more like the Gilmore Girls. La 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 la
la la la la la la. Alright guys, we have been preparing for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Since April.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we are here.
Finally.
And it starts out so innocently. We're at Luke's diner.
Yeah.
Rory is super excited for her first day at Chilton for the new school year.
And it's also exciting because this is her true, first day, right? Because she came in late. So this is, everybody's first day. Everybody's excited.
So let's compare days. Last time, Lorelai, let's say, was not at her best.
No.
And this time, Rory is very anxious. I actually really feel for her, because I feel like her anxieties are really high in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least in this scene. And Lorelai is not helping. But yeah, she's not dressed like a rodeo girl, so...
So that's a win.
Yeah.
I will say, I feel like Rory's concerns, though, are pretty, I don't know, maybe it's just because we grew up with Rory, but, those are pretty standard ones for me. I was like, I need to get to school early, I need to find my locker, see if there's any weird quirks with it, I want to map out my classrooms.
First day jitters, man.
Yeah. Nothing worse than being the late kid the first day of school.
Oh, man. Yeah. It just reminded me, in high school, my best friend, they're bus just did not come to their stop, and they had no other way to get into school, so they came 2 hours late.
Oh no.
It was so bad. Yeah, you don't want to be the late kid in school.
No. But at least that's a very legit excuse. If your school bus does not come.
And that's on the school.
Yeah, and before Uber, so.
Oh yeah, gosh, can you imagine Ubering to high school?
Uber. I'm sure people do it, right? I mean, uncomfortable.
Rich kids,
but,
maybe? I couldn't have afforded to Uber to school.
I mean, in Beverly Hills?
I walked to high school, though.
Yeah, right. But we get our one lane appearance this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was not enough.
It was not enough. I miss Lane.
Yeah.
I want more Lane.
Oh, Lane. We're going to get more Lane. But she is making quite, honestly, a hefty CD order for Rory to pick up. Rory must have more just pocket money on hand than I usually would think.
I was thinking
because
that too.
That's a lot of CDs.
Well,
and each CD was at least $15.
It's very subtle, but at the end of that conversation, right before Lane leaves, she sets some cash down on the table.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Oh, did
she? I was watching for it because I was like, is Lane seriously going to ask Rory to go grab $50 of CDs or something?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Because, it's 5 different CDs. So even if it was minimal $10 each, it's $50.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much money, obviously, she slams down $100 or a $5 bill, but she puts something on the table.
Where is Lane getting this money? Does Lane have a job?
I mean, she works at the antique store sometimes, doesn't she?
But do you think that she would get paid for that work, or would that just be, like, expected of her as a responsibility? I don't know.
I would say it like that.
Maybe she does what I did as a teenager and just pocket all the change when I'm told to go to the store and get something. I have $20 for the high school.
Mrs. Kim doesn't strike me as, like, a big allowance giver either. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But also, I mean, she has clearly bought all of her crazy, like, her closet and stuff, mm-hmm, her CDs, yeah, the clothes. She buys all of that. I don't know. Maybe she's got money. Lane has money somewhere.
Mr. Kim, who we don't see for 7 years.
Maybe he slides her money, yeah, in there.
Right? Yeah, I mean, who knows? We literally know nothing about the man. We also don't know anything about Luke's sister, really, who we get a call from in this scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Taylor comes in with the Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts.
Which this is morning, right? This is morning, right? When this episode is taking place.
Yeah. It's early. Yeah, it's early. It's school. Very early.
So all these Boy Scouts come in and start ordering cheeseburgers and French fries and, like, all these lunch and dinner meals. French fries. Yeah. And I was like,
it's before high school starts.
Yeah.
That's the time of this.
It should. It's probably like 6 a.m.
Parent. Yeah.
Also, what Boy Scouts are meeting before school on a presumably Monday morning?
Like,
the first day of school.
And why is Taylor the troop leader?
There's so many questions around this. That's a weird
one. That seems like a Kirk, right? Doesn't Kirk seem like he would be the scout leader? And he would take it way too seriously?
Oh, yeah, he would.
I don't know. I feel like Kirk would get him lost in the woods and he'd have his leadership revoked.
True. True.
Canon.
But it shouldn't be Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor has a job. He's the owner of Dozies.
I could almost let it go and be like, maybe it's something they did over the weekend. So he's like, Monday morning, I'll take you all out to breakfast at Luke's for, you know, to celebrate. But then, like, everybody orders lunch food and stuff. Like, this is weird.
I don't know. It is weird. It is weird. And then Lorelai fights with a child. Like, she loves fighting with children.
Lorelai just wants to donuts,
I was here first,
man,
on this earth.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, as this is happening, Luke is having that conversation, mm-hmm, with what we find out is his sister. And the anger is quick.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
And, okay, so we know Liz, right? We're going to find out who Liz is later. Yeah.
Yes.
But the Liz painted here is not what we get later.
No. When we meet Liz later, we are specifically told that she is, like, in a much better place. She's doing better. Yes. She's got her life together. Right now, she is the kind of person who ships her kid off to her brother with no notice, pretty much, because she can't handle it.
And I think at this point, she might be an alcoholic. I feel like in the future, it's alluded to.
I thought it was worse than that. Like, I think, heavier addiction.
I think it is, but I don't think it's any specifics or epic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll give it best case scenario. She's an alcoholic at this point.
Yeah.
There's definitely something going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we don't find out right here about the mystery boy that's coming to town, but Luke is definitely pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also a, like, okay, fine. Slam the phone down.
But, and this goes back on to Liz too, like, there is literally no notice. It's, hey, like, is he already on the bus at this point? Like, this all happens in one day.
Well, he gets there at 10. Remember? It's later on, he says he got there at 10 a.m.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So this is a 6 a.m. phone call? He's already on his way?
Because when we see Luke later with all the groceries, it's the same day. Lorelai's in the same outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the commute from New York to Connecticut would probably be about 3 hours. So maybe an hour before.
So make sure Luke will get him off the bus and that's it.
But it's a bus. And a bus is not going to take you the same distance as a car, like the same time as a car.
Yeah, it would take a little bit longer.
A little bit longer.
Maybe it's express.
Express to Hartford?
We'll
talk about the bus because I have some comments about this bus. But before that, we do get Luke coming back to the diner with a lot of groceries, let's say.
Frosted Flakes.
Kid food. I love Frosted Flakes. Everybody's hating on Frosted Flakes in this episode. They're great.
They're great.
Jess says
I
it.
Do like Frosted Flakes.
They're great.
Charlie loves Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
There's also Rice Krispies, like 5 boxes of Rice Krispies, pasta, Chef Boyardee, and Pop-Tarts. That's what Luke thinks Jess is going to
eat. So Luke thinks Jess is 10.
Luke thinks that maybe Jess will eat the kind of food that he sees at Lorelai's house.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, gosh, what did Lorelai have last time I was over there?
Pop-Tarts.
Rory eats that. Maybe Jess will eat that.
Yo-yos and Pop-Tarts.
And so we find out a little bit of background info. First off, we have a trick situation. Not really a dead situation and then become alive situation, but Jimmy the Hot Dog King left 2 years ago, but later on, he left when he was in diapers.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that he's still a hot dog king, though.
He is still a hot dog king.
Like, that's one thing they... Like, it's a weird choice to hold on to, but okay.
But I think it's, like, the point, like, so many of these characters that are, like, so one-sided, it's like, oh, this person's claim to fame, this person's entire life is they're the hot dog guy. Let's look down on him because he's the hot dog guy, right? It's like...
Yeah, it's kind of
If anybody
shitty.
In the show is the hot dog guy, it's Kirk for wearing a hot dog costume in front of Luke's diner in a future episode.
We'll have to wait for that moment. He could take over the crown then.
So Lorelai starts immediately like, all right, well, what kind of trouble? What about this nephew? What do you know?
She's really badgering
him. Super valid concerns.
Yeah.
Like, these are all really valid concerns, though. Like, Luke didn't ask any questions, and he just assumes Jess is going to show up and be like, okay, I'm here. Let's have fun. Like,
yeah.
No. You just found out there's a 17-year-old kid who keeps getting into trouble is coming into your tiny little town who, as far as we know, has a 2-man police force.
Right?
Yeah.
But Luke tells a little story, and he says that, you know, after his mom died, it was just his dad and him working all the time, Liz doing whatever, and then she took off right after high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he doesn't see that Liz apparently had a really bad time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking. He was super dismissive of Liz's feelings.
Yeah.
Of how Liz would have dealt with losing her mother at such a young age. And now all she has left is a dad and a brother who apparently don't want her around.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like I don't want to give Liz too much credit because, again, we don't know her right now. She's a 2D character.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it just seems like Liz was kind of abandoned at a time when she lost her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lorelai kind of connects with that, like the story of like the girl who kind of just gets out of there. And I was surprised there wasn't more of a connection because, you know, Luke says like as soon as she could, she was out of here. It's like that was Lorelai's experience too. Lorelai also had a kid young. Like we have to assume that Liz also had Jess young because of the age similarities. Yeah. But
I kind of have a I don't know if theory is the right word. Well, whatever. I don't think Lorelai acts like Lorelai in this episode.
I think
a little out of character.
You think she's too mature in this episode?
No, I think...
Or not mature enough.
Well.
Depends on the scene.
No, I just think that she's not really her. We'll talk about it later when the Jess confrontation comes up. But
yeah. I feel like that's more Lorelai. I don't know. I'm interested to hear your points, but
okay.
I think that Lorelai inserting herself aggressively into a situation that it's not about
Lorelai.
Her is so on brand.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
She's like, oh, Luke has something going on in his life. I have to be part of this.
Well, Luke has gotten an inflatable bed. There is a blow-up doll joke.
Yeah.
Which always feels so out of place, and I don't know why.
Yeah. Also, I think that, like, when you have somebody show up from out of town unexpectedly, an air mattress is not a crime.
It's not.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he's coming to stay potentially indefinitely. However, he just found out about it this morning. Are you saying he needs to go out and buy a bed right now? Like,
right? So was Lorelai going to Luke's when she ran into him again when he got all those groceries, or was she just walking by?
She must have been walking by, because if she was already going back, that would be in less like than two, 3 hours.
Yeah.
It could have been like a break, though.
I guess.
Yeah, but...
How many times a day does she go to Luke's?
Right?
She just goes
like, how long of a break does she get if she can take one, an hour and a half after being at work? Yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
So, yeah, and then Dean, wow, that's the wrong person.
No, he's not in this episode.
There's no Dean in this episode. Not even a mention of him.
No, not at all. Luke has admitted that he did not speak to Jess even once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I? Yeah, and I hate how he handles it, too. Like, why would I talk to him? He's coming here. End of the story. Maybe figure out why, how he feels about it, what his issues are.
Yeah, just ask. But... Admittedly, imagine what that phone call would actually have sounded like?
Since we know Jess.
It wouldn't have sounded at all,
based on the way that Jess acts in this episode, like, he would have either said nothing, he would have hung up, he would have made a snarky comment. Like, mm-hmm. It wouldn't have gotten us any further. It's the right thing to do, but it wouldn't have helped in the situation.
Yeah.
Well, I have some background stuff for you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
So we got our... second big view of Luke's apartment, and there is now a chess game set up. Who is Luke playing chess with?
Himself. He's an academic.
Haven't you seen Queen's Gambit?
You could do that. Yeah, you could definitely do that. There's an entire case of baseball trophies, like a lot of them. Like, I'm talking maybe 15 or 20 of them.
Like, we're starting to move into Butch Dane's territory.
Exactly. Yep. And then, next to that stand, there is a framed photo of President Truman holding the infamous Dewey Defeats Truman newspaper. The newspaper the night before, it was the New York Times? Oh god, don't quote me. It was one of them. Washington Post, one of them. They accidentally put Dewey Defeats Truman, thinking that Dewey was going to defeat Truman.
But he
didn't. Truman won. And Truman is very happily holding up that paper, like, ha ha ha. Why does Luke have that?
ASP was just Googling random old black and white photos that she could stick in a frame.
But the big question is, was the photo of two fish standing up outside of water present?
Still there.
Good.
Oh, thank God.
We have to have our cornerstones.
Luke's apartment is just kind of a weird,
Maybe, like, that was something of his dad's?
Maybe.
The picture?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were moving on to the apartment, and I was like, well, yeah, clearly. Well, yeah,
no. I'm just, like, so much of this stuff, it's like fishing and baseball. Okay, we know, like, Luke likes those things.
That's
like
Luke's personality.
The political stuff, maybe that's his dad, you know.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
I could see that, yeah. But anyways, we move on to Chilton.
Wait, I want to mention one thing. We get a parting shot from Lorelai. Did you get sheets? Of course I got sheets. He walks out, grabs his keys. Sheets!
Probably my favorite part of the scene. You know what? I do really like that touch because Luke would not remember the sheets.
No, but at the same time...
Who needs sheets on an air mattress?
Luke only has one set of sheets.
I mean...
Well, isn't his bed, like, a foal right now or something?
But I mean, like, if you're putting stuff on an air mattress, it could be oversized. You can wrap it like a little present.
He's a bachelor. He washes his sheets during the day and puts them back on when they're done.
Oh, I don't know if he does that either.
You just have to hope he washes them, period. I mean, Luke seems like a clean enough guy.
That's what I'm going with.
Season 1 Luke definitely had more than one pair of sheets. Season 2 Luke...
And honestly, by the time we get to like season 5 Luke, who knows if he even has sheets? Who is that man?
Yeah. Okay.
But Chilton, we do go to Chilton. Rory makes it on time for her first day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's late to the Franklin, so she's perpetually going to be late to something on the first day, apparently.
Yes.
Which, wouldn't there have been like an email or a piece of paper or something sent in writing with the time?
So confused by this, right? Because Rory and Paris is immediately, you know, vicious. Paris
is still mad about something that literally didn't even happen.
Yeah, basically.
And they both have like acknowledged that it didn't happen. Yes. Paris has acknowledged this thing is dumb and she just won't
Paris's
let it go.
Paris's superpower is spite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, holding that grudge.
And it's in full force this episode.
And Rory is trying to, you know, broker a deal. Like, we don't have to talk. We don't have to be friends. Let's just get through this. But we're going to be on the Franklin together. And Paris lies and says that the Franklin meeting is going to be at 4. And Louise and Madeline do not flinch. Are they in on this plan?
I can imagine that neither of them know and they're just going to follow Paris.
Yep.
Okay. Because I would be so disappointed in Mallow.
So the meeting we find out is actually at 3:15.
Mm-hmm.
No alarm bells go off in Rory's head that this meeting starts somewhere 45 minutes to an hour after school ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But back to your point.
I feel like I had clubs that started later because then you could be at other clubs. You would have your clubs stacked.
Oh, you went to a school with multiple activities.
I was usually at school till like 7:30, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say we can't count on Louise to know very much about anything. She didn't realize she was going to have to do weekends for the paper.
That is true. Poor Louise. True. I like Paris's hair, and you know what it reminded me of? Rory's hair in the concert Interrupters. Yep.
I was thinking the same
exact hairstyle.
It looks good on her, though. She looks great. Spite is her color.
Oh, man. Honestly, the Chilton scenes are a little fillery to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of more of the same between Rory and Paris. We do need a shift in their relationship, I think. It's become a little bit stale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing that's not fillery is back in Stars Hollow. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, and Luke is waiting. Some background stuff. First off, there's a New York Times little stand. And there was something about newspapers with Max.
I think he was able to get the Times and something else, but they did not have the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
The one they were missing.
All right, well, that's where they got the Times, was in front of the bus station.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is, we mentioned before that, like, 9/11 happened recently within this season. And there has been no mention within the actual...
No mention and, like, continued jokes that are, like, counter to it. Like, Lane strapping CDs to her body on a flight, just like things that literally run counter to the way the world was after 9/11. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, in the background, we do get a look at the church, like, bulletin board? That's not the bulletin board.
It's
That's
like
not
the,
what it's called.
The announcement sign board? That lists,
the announcement board, yeah. And it is very, you know, we don't know this yet, but we know this because we watched all of Gilmore Girls. But the viewer doesn't know this yet if you're just watching it for the first time. There's a cross on the announcement board, and then it immediately says Rabbi Barron will be speaking on this sermon. And the sermon is Allah, friend or foe. So that's very obviously a direct 9/11 reference.
Yeah. If it's not, then it's like... it's an incredible coincidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to assume that it isn't a coincidence because, I mean, we were all there post 9/11. There was no coincidences around that topic.
I feel like if it's not a 9/11 reference, it's incredibly offensive.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's trying to expand the knowledge of that religion because of, unfortunately, all the tensions that came from 9/11, then it's kind of like, why would you imply that it's a foe to begin with?
Yeah.
The potential for a lot to be a foe.
Unfortunately, after 9/11, there was a lot of discourse and a lot of straight up just...
Hate?
Hate. Yeah.
A lot of misinformation, a lot of fear that led and fed into that misinformation. So we would hope that this sermon is going to be about, you know, exploring the religion and you know, looking at the truths. But who knows? This is literally the only thing we see is a sign. There's nothing else about it.
like, they don't say it within the characters, or there's no mention of it really in the app. This is not a plot point at all. It is just sign in the background. And the only reason I saw it was because I saw the New York Times stand, and I was like, oh, look, it's a New York Times stand. Wait, what does the announcement board say? Oh, that's what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd be interested in your thoughts if you guys want to let us know what you think.
Yeah.
I do think that maybe you would have been better off not being said.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless they were going to touch on the topic directly, which a lot of shows kind of did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, an interesting take.
The West Wing comes to mind.
Yeah.
They had an entire episode about it. So, like, but that is a political show. This is not a political show. So I feel like in a non-political show, don't even mention it.
It's weird.
I'm curious how many people even have noticed that, right? Because you have to, like, pause at a very specific point in a very specific episode. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a blinking you miss it kind of thing, for sure. Yeah, I certainly didn't. I was a little preoccupied with what was about to happen.
So, going back to the episode. So, okay, another background thing. This bus is coming in from Hartford, right? Mm-hmm. But that's Rory's bus. It's not.
The Hartford bus? But she wouldn't have been on it.
I mean,
no, no, no. But what I mean is, this is a different bus. Like, it should have been.
This is like a Greyhound or something, right? This is like a.
Yeah, like, but a he's coming bus. In from Hartford. So he should just be taking a regular bus. This is bothering me. And I just.
Well, what if it originated somewhere else? I think it originated somewhere else. And maybe it stopped at Hartford, but then it continued on.
Maybe one's an express versus multiple stops.
Sure.
I don't ride the bus.
I'm not an East Coast person. Sandra, you can be the bus the bus boss, but
I'm the only one that is bothered by this, so I'll move on. It's fine. Jess is here. And not just co-host who has been
not
here.
Not me, I've always been here.
But Jess Mariano. And he doesn't talk much.
No.
His first line.
There's, like, a really, it's a funny moment when he first, like, Luke is all excited, standing at the door of the bus, waiting for Jess to get off, and he's got this smile on his face, like he's greeting his nephew, and Jess just looks at him, and they're just
deadpan.
Frozen, and Luke's just like, well, and they just go.
It makes me wonder, like, how much have they actually seen each other?
Yeah.
Because obviously Luke isn't a fan of Liz.
Luke doesn't go to New York.
Yeah.
No.
So, no. I mean, I don't think this would be Jess's first time meeting Luke, but it might be.
Maybe the first time since he's been old enough to.
Yeah. First time in a couple years, I would bet.
Yeah.
And looking at Stars Hollow from let's say an outsider's point of view. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's played up. So yeah. I mean, they get to Luke's diner. You know, Luke says this is my diner. Shows him around a little bit. Jess just
shows
like doesn't
the frosted flakes.
Jess doesn't care, right? And Jess says, "Great."
We get our first real line.
Yep.
And
a reference.
Yeah. Right. All his stuff is in a green bag. A big old green bag. Yeah, but not a lot of stuff in it. It's just clothes, books, and playing cards. I like that he calls his mom Lizzie, but like...
Yeah.
It's also really sad that he calls her by her first name.
But I'm not sure that he calls her that in, like, to her face. You know, like, the way it came off, it felt like he was just being like, oh, Lizzie.
Disrespectful.
Like, yeah.
Do we ever see Jess directly refer, like, in a conversation with Liz, actually call her anything?
We'll have to see.
Because
I do know he calls her Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
in conversations with other people.
Yeah, other people. But
I
don't
maybe
know
around,
if he ever
like,
called her mom.
The wedding stuff, him maybe getting...
That was my only thought.
Like, roped into kind of... having a moment and calling her mom, but I can't remember. We'll have to keep an eye out for it, for
sure.
Yeah,
we have to.
And then Jess...
makes walks his outside. First escape.
Yeah.
And there's people decorating the town for fall. There's a mom and daughter in an overly bright pink dress and matching socks. Yep. And then right behind it, matching twins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's the matching twins who show up twice. They're crossing the street and then they cross in front of him as well.
So these twins are super fast.
Yeah. There's also two people carrying wheat.
Wheat?
It's fall decorations.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Miss Patty's with kids. They're all dressed in one-piece suits, like bathing suits. Mm-hmm. Don't know why. And then everyone's putting up fall decoration. And then this, like, New York kid in the center of it. And this is hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny in these early seasons when they used music in this way, because I don't think they kept doing this throughout the show. It definitely tapers off. But in these early seasons, a couple of times they were like, we have to use this music to punctuate this moment. But, my head is so caught still in, like, later seasons that every time it's so jarring. Like, when the song comes on, I'm like, where's the troubadour? Like, that's the only time we hear lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is true.
But it's not the troubadour. It's in Jess's head. He is in hell.
Yeah.
Poor Jess. But also,
he is not ready for this.
I'm going to say this is one of, but not the worst, but one of the worst Jess episodes.
Oh, yeah. He's like, he's
mean.
A caricature of surly teenager. Yes. Like, later when Lorelai kind of, like, lays into him about all of his, you know, character he's put on. I mean, she's, like, super, she gets it right, but, yeah, we can get into that later. He is just super surly, he does not want to be here, and he doesn't seem to care about coming off as, like, rude or dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't care.
No.
I will say I'm genuinely surprised that he's not wearing a leather jacket. Yeah. Like, I almost feel like he should be.
Yeah.
A standard bad boy image.
The wardrobe, we'll talk about in fashion, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't match with the rest of Jess later on.
No.
No, but Luke does ask, is that all your stuff? When Jess shows him, or has his bag, and Jess says, yep. But then on the phone with Liz, we find out, no, Jess's stuff is actually still coming in the mail. So no, this is not all of Jess's stuff.
This is like a week's worth of clothing for him or something.
Yeah, probably just like the things that he picked up first.
And he does just rewear the same stuff. I'll talk about it more in fashion, but it's clear he's working with a limited wardrobe.
Yeah.
So, so we move on from New York boy over to Chilton. And Rory's 10 minutes early. She's on time.
She is ready.
She's gonna walk into this Franklin meeting and be on. Oh, no, she's not. Because she's late.
Yeah, she goes to sit down on a bench to, like, read her book. And notices that there are voices already inside the room.
Who is this teacher? Did you guys get the name?
No.
Do we ever get her name?
I don't think so.
Because she's in a couple of episodes.
Newspaper advisor.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, it's been a while since I watched this episode, and so this was, like, a surprise to me, this terrible thing that Paris has done. Because the way that things ended at the end of the last Chilton scene, it seemed like Paris was going to be on good terms with Rory. It seemed like they had, like, kind of mended their differences. No, Paris specifically went out of her way to screw Rory over. And, I mean, the teacher is, like, very unimpressed. The teacher is, like, makes a comment about it.
So do you think the teacher knows Paris gave her the wrong time?
No,
or
absolutely.
Do you think she's unimpressed?
No.
Okay.
She thinks that
Rory.
That Rory is just late.
Yeah.
Which, no, Rory is not somebody who is late.
And they have this little back and forth about, like, oh, you get the paving unless you don't want to do it, unless you want to wait, like, all this. No, I'll do it. Right?
Yep.
And, like, I said it before we were talking about it's getting boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And also, having been an adult who worked in a high school with a high school newspaper staff, and also somebody who was on a high school newspaper staff, no teacher should sit there and let this conversation play out.
Nope.
There is clearly something going on here. It's not conducive to learning. It's not conducive to, like, camaraderie in the group. You should shut that down.
And it, honestly, like, it doesn't even really feel like Paris, because it feels like she's willing to sacrifice the integrity and the level of the paper for her petty little vendetta against Rory. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, we see her do it again in the future, but...
But she even went on her little, like, rant with Louise and Madeline about the gossip. Oh, that's later. But, like, yeah. Still. Like,
but, yeah. Like,
she cares about this newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
So to sacrifice...
It's her name that's going to be on it for the next year.
Which, by the way, what sophomore is the editor of a... Oh, she's a junior at this point.
Junior, yeah.
So, but I mean, even then, generally like that would be a senior. Yeah.
She probably badgered all the seniors into stepping down from the position.
There's no senior.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Rory gets the, apparently, the worst story, which is paving the faculty parking lot. But she's just like, I'm going to be great. And she has a little moment with Paris where she says, you can give me all of the crappy assignments you want. I am not going to quit. Like, I'm going to be on this.
Great moment.
Yeah. It's a very mature moment. It's like a very powerful Rory moment. She's just like, nope, I'm going to be on it. And at the end of the year, I'm going to have on my resume that I was on the Franklin staff. So,
and I think that's a perfect way to handle it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because Paris wants her to quit.
Right.
But compared to last year, right, where Rory was kind of a mess sometimes when she spoke, and she wasn't able to defend herself. She's defending herself, and she's doing it really well.
Yeah, she
I was really proud.
I think Rory's kind of finally found herself a little bit more, found her voice in the Chilton setting, that she's gained some confidence
and
there,
she's not
where
scared.
She was very intimidated before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Rory, right, she gives this impassionate speech to Paris. She walks out feeling high, proud, happy, runs into could-have-been stepdad Max.
And they both react in, like, shock, and she runs away, then he runs away, he bowls over a student.
I need everyone to go back to that scene and look at Max's face, because Max does the most exaggerated shock face I've ever seen. It's such bad acting, and it's so funny.
Well, and then also the way he, like, grabs that kid that he knocks into, he, like, grabs him and looks him in the face, and I was just like... Oh my gosh, if my teacher did that, I would be like, Mr. Medina, are you okay? Like, no, they both run away, and Paris sees it through the window.
Yeah.
Max looks like he wants to say something.
Well, yeah, Rory and then, like, just runs away.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
I have to say, it's more awkward by the fact that we find out that Rory is in one of his classes.
Yeah.
So, unless they have block scheduling, where, like, she only has, like, 4 classes today and 4 classes tomorrow, she's already seen Max today.
Yeah.
Just, you know, behind somebody's head.
Well, she's sitting behind tall people.
I mean, like, he would have had to take roll, though, right? He would have had to say her name and whatever.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
So we get to Luke's diner.
Yeah. And Lorelai comes in all bubbly and, like, excited for Jess's arrival. Luke has no idea where he is right now.
Again, very valid concerns on Lorelai's part.
Yeah.
Like, you just found out this kid's here because he keeps getting in trouble where he's at in New York City. And you don't question
not keeping any tabs on him.
Nope. I like
nothing.
Luke's why. Why would I want to know where he is?
Yeah.
And it kind of proves the point that Lorelai is trying to make.
Yeah.
Like, you're not ready for this.
And Luke still doesn't recognize that he's not
ready. He does not connect until much, much later.
And all of a sudden, Jess walks in. And I can only imagine Jess walked in because he realized, like, he walked through this entire town and it's been only 2 hours.
And there's nothing else to do.
Yep.
So this is Jess getting ready to go steal Poupon, whatever Babette's name gnome is, and whatever he does to Taylor.
Pierpon. Yeah.
But yeah, so Lorelai is still super bubbly, super happy.
She's super excited to meet Luke's nephew. And Jess, again, could not care any less.
No, it's actually kind of anger.
Yeah.
There's some simmering chilliness. And it's not, it's directed at Lorelai, but it's not because of Lorelai.
Yeah, I mean, she comes on pretty strong. Like,
yeah.
She comes on like Lorelai, who expects everybody who she meets to instantly love her. Mm-hmm. And he is an angry kid with a lot of, like, a lot of trauma, and he's dealing with it in his own way. And she's like, yeah, my kid will show you around. And he's just like, I literally don't care at all.
Yeah. So he's the first character we meet besides Michelle, which I don't really count Michelle for this, who just doesn't immediately fall for Lorelai's charm.
Yeah.
Like, even when we would see customers at the inn come in angry, she would, oh, I'll do this and this for you, and the guy walks away smiling. Jess just has no tolerance for any. He's like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
I think he has a really good bullshit meter, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he can has tell.
To. Mm-hmm.
I thought everybody from New York had a good bullshit meter.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's required. It's
built in.
But yeah, so he immediately, like, he kind of just spaces out, and then Lorelai's like, class dismissed, and he goes back upstairs, and Lorelai looks over at Luke, like, with these eyes of like, oh my god, and Luke is just like, what?
Yeah.
You're right, he's fine.
Yeah. Luke is
nothing to do here.
I mean, at the end, we kind of realize Luke's a little bit in denial for the beginning of this episode. He's just like, it's whatever. You know, Jess is Jess. He's just going to do his thing. No, when you're responsible for a 17-year-old, they can't just do their thing.
He's fully convinced that Jess just needs somebody to treat him like an adult and he'll do the right thing.
I think that's probably been the problem in his home, is that he is treated like an adult. Nobody's taking care of him. He has to do his own thing.
Do you guys think that he's just trying to emulate Lorelai? Not that Lorelai treats Rory like an adult, but, like, she doesn't treat her like a daughter most of the time.
I mean, I get the feeling that with Luke and his dad, like, working together, the relationship was probably very man-to-man, not so much father-to-son. And I bet that, like, Luke feels like he can do that with Jess, right? Like, he's just another...
Which you can do.
But you have to have a layer of, like...
When you raise the child.
Yeah. There has to be respect there first for that to happen. Because if you don't have respect for the person, they can treat you like an adult, and it doesn't matter what they think of you, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we discover this in the future, but Luke treating Jess like an adult essentially just lets Jess do literally whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And then also, real quick with what Luke says... 12 porcelain unicorn selling stores? 12?
That's gotta be
an exaggeration.
Please. There can't be 12 stores.
Are we sure?
There can't be 12 stores in Stars Hollow.
Right?
Like, my tiny little town that is smaller than Stars Hollow that I grew up in only had, like, 6. So.
Well, and we do know there is one store entirely dedicated to cats.
We do know that, yeah.
So maybe there's, like, one store that's unicorns. That would feel like a lot, honestly.
Honestly, even if there's one, it's too much.
Yeah.
I'm going to reiterate that this town square feels larger than a town with a population that this size should have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I grew up in a big town, and we had, like, a main street. It wasn't a square. We had a main street. On that main street, there were probably... maybe 10 stores on Main Street. And it was a big town. So no way there could be 12 unicorn boutiques. Get off
so
it, Luke.
The town that I live in has a square. And it has a court, like an old courthouse in the middle. It's used for like random city stuff now. Instead of just like a little gazebo and some green space. But we have a population of 63,000.
Oh, wow.
So that's like... 6 times the amount of Stars Hollow to support the same number of businesses?
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Rory gets there.
Rory gets there.
Oh, okay.
So Lorelai, out of nowhere, goes, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? Right?
Oh, yes.
And I wanted to ask you guys, Luke's reaction to that question is just like, oh, curiosity. Season one Luke would have had a conniption. He would have been like,
season one Luke would have been like, date.
Yeah, exactly right. Date? What do you mean? What do you want to do tomorrow night? Are we doing something? Like, it would have been a different story. This one's just like, oh, why? It's so casual. Is Luke not so into Lorelai?
They're just not pushing it as hard.
Well, I mean, she was just about to get married. I mean, I'm sure part of him kind of went, like, she's getting married to somebody. Like, obviously she's invested in somebody who's not me. It would have been smart for him to move on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, maybe Luke has moved on a little bit. But Lorelai invites him and Jess to dinner and makes Suki cook.
I say, and volunteer Suki to make dinner, which we know Suki. We know she's going to absolutely love to do this. But, like, what if she had plans?
What if Suki didn't want to cook after cooking for 8 hours
at her job? But, I mean, she loves to cook. She does.
I mean, this is her, it's her obsession.
So, yeah. So, Luke obviously says yes to going to this dinner.
It's a nice gesture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Rory arrives. And she's ranting about Paris because obviously, poor girl went
and
through
Lorelai
hell with her.
And is super supportive. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I hate her. Me too. Who?
Yeah.
I love it though. It's so nice.
It is. But, you know, Max.
I will say, I feel like Lorelai is pretty supportive in that conversation of like, I know I put you into a weird situation and I'm sorry, but I don't want you to feel like it needs to be weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to say than do, but I appreciate the intent behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, Rory's obviously lying, but, like, neither of them are, like, Lorelai's not mad at her or anything like that, and I don't think Rory's mad at Lorelai either.
Yeah.
It's just an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Jess is coming to dinner, apparently. Rory's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't...
Literally no feelings.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't know who he is. She's like, oh, cool, all right.
Yep.
Dinner. Random person coming for dinner.
Yeah.
And then we go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess Mariano is on an airbed smoking and doing card tricks.
And Luke says nothing.
Says nothing. He just, like, opens a window. Like, or does he even open the window until later?
No, he opens it immediately.
Yeah.
He does it.
But, like, smoke gets into everything.
Oh, yeah, it's gross.
And as a non-smoker, I would have smacked the crap out of some dude smoking in my house. That smell's not going anywhere.
At the foot of your bed in your one-room apartment. Like... And also, I mean, Jess is 17.
Shouldn't be smoking.
So he shouldn't even be able.
Shouldn't even have these cigarettes.
Right?
Yeah.
But nope, Luke is still being cool uncle. Cool uncle
Luke. I will
Luke.
Say, I would be surprised if Jess did not have a fake ID.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody in town knows him.
He definitely has one.
He's 17, so it wouldn't necessarily be out of the realm for him to walk in, be 18, and buy a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, so Jess is on this air mattress. His air mattress has magazines, 4 half-smoked cigarettes in a paper plate ashtray.
Ugh.
Cool.
Gross. The Frosted Flakes that are half-eaten. 3 books. And then whatever the hell is in that, like, log decoration. Go back to that scene. Someone tell me what the hell is in that.
Because I have no idea what you're referencing.
It's while Liz calls... And it goes back and forth between Luke and Jess.
What? A log decoration? I don't see anything.
Oh my gosh, guys. I will find this for you.
I mean, I'm looking at the scene. It looks like there might be like a pizza or something. Is it on the bed?
It is on the bed.
Are you talking about that thing on the yellow plate?
Yes.
But
it's not the yellow plate. It is actually the log. It is while Jess gets that close-up. What the hell is that?
Is it like a heart-shaped?
Some kind of, like, balls? Nuts? Is it like walnuts in a dish?
They look like chestnuts in a dish.
Chestnuts?
In a log dish.
What is this?
What the hell is it? And so what's on that yellow plate?
Created a little pack rat nest for himself.
And the plate is like a heart-shaped plate, it looks like. Which, can anybody see Luke owning a heart-shaped plate?
I mean, it's gotta be Luke's
just
plate.
Just picture it. Or do you think Jess brought it with him from New York?
Yeah.
That's why he had so many clothes.
Three shirts, one heart-shaped plate, a puffy vest, and a sweatshirt.
And a log decoration. Filled with chestnuts.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was hungry.
And where did this come from?
Everybody loves nuts. Hayden's nuts, log nuts.
Oh my god, this is going to bother me forever.
Okay, we'll put on Instagram. What is this?
Yeah. There's also a backrest. Where did the backrest come from? I have no idea.
I mean, it's got to be Luke.
But there's also a guitar.
Yeah, who plays guitar here?
I don't know. Does it imply that Jess plays guitar?
I don't think that Luke does.
He didn't come with a guitar.
It's not Luke's guitar.
Was it in his bag?
It either have to be Luke's guitar or Jess stole a guitar sometime when he got here.
Yeah, honestly, this could all be just stolen stuff that he has picked up since he arrived into town.
Did Jess steal a guitar? That is the real question. But yeah, so Liz calls. That is basically, nothing matters on this bed. What matters is that Liz calls, and Jess does not want to talk to Liz.
Which, honestly, fair. His mom literally shipped him off the day before.
Yep.
Against his will, we can pretty much assume. I'm kind of honestly surprised that he even got to Stars Hollow. That he didn't hop off the bus at a different stop. Yeah, and just go.
Yeah.
But nope, he showed up and he doesn't want to talk to his mom. And they're going to dinner at Lorelai's.
Well, yeah. Jess is all like, hey, want to play poker? Which I don't understand the card angle that they gave him.
I mean, I think it's more of a money angle.
Yeah.
Well, like the magic trick stuff also. And it plays into a later episode as well.
A bored kid.
He has hobbies.
Picking up hobbies or picking up weird party tricks. Yeah.
I do have a question about the conversation with Liz, though.
Mm-hmm.
So Jess says he doesn't want to talk to Liz, so Luke immediately covers for Jess by basically saying, what, he's not there? Is he, he's busy or
something? No, he's helping with a shelf.
Yeah, he's,
Which we know that actually TJ is the shelf maker in this family, so.
Right. Do you think Jess straight up takes that as like, okay, he's going to cover for me whatever I do?
Yeah, he thinks he's chill. But I think that he immediately gets the opposite impression 2 seconds later when Luke is like, hey, Lorelai told me about dinner and we're going, right?
Yeah.
It's another instance of you're coming with me or you're being sent somewhere without even me asking you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jess gets no choice. He's listening until that moment and then he leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, because he was not impressed with Lorelai, so why would he want to go to her house and meet her kid who... He probably thinks it's going to be a lot like Lorelai. Spoiler, she is. Spoiler. He likes it.
He likes that in the younger version, though.
I know we just had the conversation about is Luke over Lorelai, but Luke straight up says, you'll like her. She's just like Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
But more sane or something like that.
Yeah.
Has a tighter grasp on reality.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we know that they are friends. They have shown that they're good friends, even in this weird period where she's single, he's single.
Mm-hmm. But I think he already puts it in Jess's head that there might be something more going on there. Or at least that Luke might want there to be something more going on there.
I mean, I think that anybody with eyes can see that there's something going on there. Exactly. As evidenced by, like, Suki and now Jess. Even Rory has said stuff before about, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emily's, like, comment of, like,
oh, yeah.
Are you
blind? Two are idiots.
Yeah, you two are idiots. Mm-hmm.
But we go back to school.
It's the end of the second day, and Rory is early for the Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
She is there. We find out that Kimberly Slately and Tristan are together. So we get a Tristan mention.
Yeah.
Although we do not see Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Madeline wants to start a gossip column.
Yeah.
Or was that Louise?
It was Madeline.
No, it was Madeline.
Madeline, right? Okay. I get those two confused with their names all the time.
It's easy. It's easy to do for sure.
I think 20 years in, I would have figured it out by now.
I think a gossip column in a high school paper is like a bad idea. I know that Paris goes off on a tangent about like, Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be the first person to do that. But just, like, it's not a good idea. A gossip mm-hmm. column anywhere that there's...
It's just going to create
it's
fights.
It's going to be awful. Yeah, oh, yeah, so no. Good call on that, Paris.
Yep.
So, speaking of 20 years of watching this show, it took me today to realize that the Franklin is named after Ben Franklin. And I know you're thinking to yourself, obviously, it is named after Ben Franklin. Who else would it be named after? Well, it only just connected for me. And it's because there's a Ben Franklin quote in the background. And it says, "If you would not be forgotten, as soon as you are dead and rotten, either write things worth reading or do things worth writing." Which are is okay. a really cool quote. But yeah, it connected. Yeah. That moment I read it, I was like, oh, the Franklin's named after Ben Franklin.
Oh, that makes sense.
The only other Franklin I know is, like, Franklin the Turtle, and that would be a really wild thing to name your newspaper after.
I mean, Franklin Roosevelt, yeah.
Well, but FDR.
But Franklin makes much
but
more sense.
Chilton was founded before FDR was president, I'm sure.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I can only assume Chilton was founded in, like, 1700 or 1800 sometime.
But Rory receives a glowing review from mm-hmm. the
she also
advisor.
Receives shade from the advisor. Like, she walks yes. in and immediately, like, oh, everyone's here, and prompt.
Yep. But in the same sentence, right. essentially says, does an amazing job on the parking lot piece.
Yeah. Which, of and course,
then like, at Paris.
Takes the wind out of Paris's sails.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love how proud Rory looks.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As she should be.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to get shade and praise from your teacher in almost the same breath. That's right? mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Yeah. But the advisor also tells Paris that maybe Rory should get a better piece in the future because she's such a good mm-hmm. writer. And
yep.
Paris witnessed Rory and Max's awkward interaction through the window mm-hmm. in the last Chilton scene. And she has the perfect assignment for Rory. And this is, like, yep. so icky and evil. Like,
it's really
I'm
bad.
Super tired of this Paris. Mm-hmm. Because she goes up and she assigns Rory the piece. And she's just, like, as nasty about it as possible. While maintaining that, like, superficial niceness mm-hmm. that they're doing with each other right now, it just, I hate it.
Well, she manipulates the whole thing, too, to get Rory to agree to it and mm. be happy about getting it. Mm-hmm. And then at the very last second, okay, so set up that meeting with Mr. Medina.
Yep.
What? Which I'm kind of surprised Rory didn't already know he was the teacher voted.
Yeah, like, the best article that everybody wants is the interview with the most popular teacher from last year. I mean, we don't know that many teachers, so, like, of course it would be Medina, right? The one person who seems, like, cool and young. But, yeah, she agrees to it.
But, like, my thing with Paris is Paris's own mother was all over, like, her personal mm-hmm. life was all over Chilton. And even in that episode that happened, Paris's birding, she did it to Rory then. But, like, to do mm-hmm. it to Rory again... After they talked to about be, that was messed
they,
up.
They literally covered right? this, right? They had this
to be
fight.
Fair, though, Paris, as far as we know, doesn't spread any rumors. She doesn't do anything like that to make it the talk of the school
no.
that they split up or anything like that. She just goes out of her way to put Rory in an uncomfortable position.
She doesn't stab Rory in front of everyone. She just stabs Rory privately.
Yeah.
It's right. fine.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't like this Paris.
No, but you know who I do like?
Mm, yep.
Suki and Jackson.
Oh, they're great.
They are so
but
cute.
Who doesn't?
And honestly, it's so fun. Like, it's so fun that, of course, Jackson is part of this. Like, Suki's going to cook. Yeah. Jackson's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Lorelai and Roy are
vegetables.
Hosting. Like, it's just, I love imagining the dinners that they have together when it's not, you know, in an episode. Because it's mm-hmm. so natural to them. Like, it's clear yeah. that she cooks in Lorelai's kitchen often. Like, I just love this
she
little
knows
world.
Where everything is.
Yeah.
Jackson and Suki were giving me married vibes. I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
you know, because I watch season 5 and 6 as, like, my off, like,
mm-hmm.
when I'm
off
not
season.
Watching this. Yeah. And they're married there with kids. So, like, I was like, oh, yeah, obviously they're here together. They're married. No, they're not. They're still just boyfriend and girlfriend.
But they're just so right together. Like, they're
really just are. Yeah.
So good.
Does anybody else think that Suki might have brought all of the utensils and tools and everything she needed to cook?
I think that she brought everything but the stove.
Yes, but does she bring it from the inn?
I hope not.
I have to assume they're from
her. Is this an inn expense?
Well, gosh.
I also hope not.
It's a pot roast, chicken wings, 4 salads.
And grilled cheese.
She tries to make grilled cheese.
And grilled cheese.
Because not everybody likes pot roast, which I wish more people would recognize that. Because as somebody who doesn't like pot roast, that is true. Not everybody likes pot roast.
That being said, grilled cheese is like the best thing in the world.
See, I wouldn't eat that either. I would eat the chicken, but...
Sean doesn't like pot roast. So now I can only have pot roast the random 2 to maybe 3 times a year that my mom makes it.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's no point making a big pot roast if I'm going to be the only one that eats it. Like, 3/4 of it would go to waste before I could eat all of it.
True. And Rory is in her room working on homework. You know, Lorelai is just kind of running around being hostess, setting everything up. And Luke and Jess arrive, and apparently they're late because there was a little bit of a misunderstanding, which I assume means that Luke has been running around the town looking for Jess.
Finding, yeah. Trying to find him.
Because Jess was just, like, out, and Luke was like, we were supposed to leave 20 minutes ago. Where is he?
Yeah. I love Suki and Jackson's, like, response to him walking in, and they're just talking about... the lemons. This is a great lemon. You should try this lemon.
They like cheese. Yeah.
And Lorelai is just like, they like food and scare people with it.
Yeah.
Well, we also find out Luke and Lorelai kind of talk for a second. The mattress popped. Mm-hmm. Their mattress.
Oh, right.
And it was because Luke was sleeping on it. Not Jess.
No. Very sweet of him.
I would not sleep on an air mattress that has been smoked on, random.
Oh my gosh.
Snacks everywhere.
He clearly doesn't have extra sheets to switch out.
Yeah, with that in mind, it is really disgusting, and Luke is a saint. But
and meanwhile, Jess is just looking at photos, and he does zero in on that photo of Rory. So he does see Rory before she sees him.
Yeah.
Which is the next scene where... Yes. Jess,
the first time we hear him say words.
Yeah.
And voluntarily.
Yeah. He immediately zeroes in on her books.
Well, and he's super snarky about it. Well, aren't we hooked on phonics? And you're just like, wow, this boy is a lot.
Yeah.
But Rory is so, like, sweet and naive in this entire interaction.
She's very innocent in it.
Incredibly. Yeah. She's just like, yeah, I like to read. Like, whoop.
He's like, let's get out of here. And she's like, where to? The 24-hour mini mart closed 8 hours ago or something.
20 minutes ago.
20 minutes ago.
Yeah. I want to go into this because, first off, Jess wants to leave, but he wants her to come with him.
Yeah.
And secondly, he thinks Rory, looking at Rory, thinks... Yeah, this is the kind of girl that would go with me.
I mean, I think that Jess probably hasn't
had... I think shooting a shot.
I don't think Jess has had problems getting girls to go with him previously.
Well,
yeah.
But it is interesting that he kind of, like, goes, okay, cool, another person my age. Like, obviously, we both want to get out of this. But Rory is like, no, the food's going to be good. We're going to have fun. Trust me. Don't I look trustworthy? Yeah. And then he looks at her...
And, okay, this might be, like, a I-know-where-this-is-going situation. Was the conversation a little flirty?
On his side, yes. On her side, honestly, I don't think there's anything even remotely flirty until the very last interaction they have in this in this episode. But up until that point, she's just being nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. It's nothing crazy. I do think he has an instant attraction to her.
Yes, because apparently if you're not into Lorelai, you have to be into Rory. It's the universe writing itself.
Well, he walks in, he sees the picture of her, and you can tell he's already like, oh, she's cute. And then he walks in and sees all the books, and he's like, oh, yep.
There
all
it
the
is.
Boxes are checked.
Yep.
She's cute and she reads.
I will say one thing. The window situation, it was a pull-up situation, now it's a push-out situation. Be consistent.
It's a red flag situation, to be honest. The first time you meet somebody, they're like, let's sneak out. I'd be like, yeah, I don't know about you. But Rory is a good kid. Issues. She's very trusting.
She is.
I have issues that there's no screens in this house.
Gosh.
But none of these windows have screens. We've talked about
that. It's very, we don't love that for Rory's safety.
Well, there's but like,
Rory goes to get a soda. Oh.
Yeah. Thanksgiving dinner is basically happening.
Yeah. It's like, really there's sweet.
So much food. And Rory gets a soda. Jess gets a beer. A Heineken.
He gets a beer and outside. Leaves.
But he doesn't, like, fully leave. He, like, goes out on the back porch.
Yeah.
And I think, like, does he really expect nobody to follow him? But, like, that's probably been his experience.
Yeah. Right? He's just kind of, I mean, like, the kids that he was probably hanging out with and grew up with are the kind of kids who sneak out when the parents are doing something. And Liz when probably he never steps cared. Out, she wouldn't notice that he stepped out, or if he was drinking a beer, she wouldn't say anything. So,
like, I know this is meant to paint him in a bad light, right? But it just kind of feels like people failed him here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked in the school system, and something we talk about is ACEs, which are, I think it's adverse childhood experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, negative things that have caused trauma in a kid's life. Like, Jess has so many ACEs, right? Having a parent leave, having a parent who is probably dealing with addiction of some sort, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, he's just a kid who is a product of his circumstances. And he's been thrown into a super new situation. And he's floundering, but the only way he knows how to deal with it is to be surly and rude and disappear. And he just doesn't know how to deal with it.
At this point, Luke says that Jimmy has left 2 years ago, which he's 17 now. It's traumatic enough just having your parents divorce when you're 15, let alone having your dad straight up leave. That alone would be enough to throw him out.
Yeah. That's such a pivotal year. Like, the 14, 15, 16, those years kind of make or break you sometimes. Like, And that's rough. And that's why I have problems with Lorelai in this episode.
She assumes way too much.
She gets very chummy with him. Because, he doesn't come to the table, and Lorelai essentially goes looking for him, finds him drinking the beer, or finds him opening the beer, takes it, and drinks it herself.
I like that he didn't think about getting an opener.
A bottle opener.
Yeah.
He was just like, porch?
Maybe he thought it was a twist top.
A Heineken?
But she immediately, kind of after school specials him.
Yes.
And tries to, like, get on his level, like, I've been there, I've been in your shoes. Like, Lorelai grew up with some hard stuff. Lorelai had a very specific, tough upbringing. However, it is not.
It's not.
What Jess is dealing with.
It's not. And even if it was the same, this is not how you approach a child that's going through this. And if you were in that situation, you would know that.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also so many assumptions made here, too. Because Laura's like, I get the chip on the shoulder thing. I'm like, okay, that's the one thing that you guys have in common about your background. And you're just assuming everything else based off of what Luke, who, as far as we know, has had little contact with Jess.
Yeah.
What Luke has told you. But I think she's trying to treat Jess here the same way that she treats Dean, like an adult.
Yeah. And
get on the same level.
And honestly, it's so nice to see Jess be like, no, this is weird. Because Dean always plays into it. Dean leans in and they get flirty and weird. And Jess is just like, yeah, are you sleeping with Luke? Like,
he treats her like an adult. So Dean has attitude, right? He has his moments. But for the most part, he's respectful towards parents, adults.
Yeah.
Jess is just like straight up, you're going to talk to me like an adult. I'm going to talk to you like an adult. You're being really creepy about Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sleeping with him? Yeah. What is the deal here?
Yeah. And I mean, like, Lorelai's point that Jess is very lucky to have Luke and to have this opportunity, it's not wrong. However, no. You should not say that to a child who has been displaced from his home by his unfit mother to live with his bachelor uncle who does not know how to take care of a child. Like, the whole situation is so awkward, and it makes sense that Luke is pretty pissed off about it.
Well, I do want to also mention, like, Lorelai, she went through something traumatic. She got pregnant at 16. She went through an event. Her parents were not, you know, they were pretty toxic. She still grew up in a very nice home. Mm-hmm. She knew where she was going to sleep every night. She had food. She was rich. Mm-hmm. And she was white.
Yeah. She was
white
very woman. Well taken care of.
Yep. And Jess, the implications we have gotten, he's neglected. He's been at least around alcohol in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing to his name. Like, three shirts. There's a difference, guys. there is a difference.
And still, nobody has stopped to ask, hey, how are you doing?
Nope.
What do you need?
Yeah.
Like, just, I feel like all the adults fail him in this episode, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's
nobody
angry.
Takes a second.
When he yells at Lorelai, you can see the vein in his neck. I mean, that might just be Milo, but, like, he is.
So that's because Milo's a fantastic actor.
He is.
He's angry, and, I mean,
justifiably so.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a dick. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he is.
No, he is very rude in this
don't
episode.
Don't emulate him.
I mean, I can't imagine, like, you know, having grown up very fortunately with parents who loved me, I was never in a situation like this. I can't imagine being in that position and having an adult try to be, like, my friend, try to be like, we're the same, I've been there, you need to turn it around, buddy. Like, oh my, I might have yelled too, right? Yeah. Like, that's just, ugh.
So yeah, and then she goes back inside, Luke is like, hey, where's Jess?
Mm-hmm.
And he's pissed. So I want to ask you guys, did Lorelai overstep?
Yeah.
I think Lorelai overstepped. Normally, like, I can see trying to forge a connection with somebody who is important to somebody who is important to you, right? Like, Luke's nephew, it makes sense, they're friends, that she would want to have some kind of connection. Having zero information about him from Luke, where that information should come from, it was not her place, I think, to try to step in and have that connection with him. Mm-hmm. I think it was overstepping. And I think that, I mean, Luke gets really mad, but...
Yeah.
I think she had good intentions. I think she was trying to help, and you gotta at least give her props for that. But we already know Lorelai has a boundary issue, especially when it comes to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Luke family member. And this, I feel like this is just a classic case of, like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here it is.
See, I also think she overstepped, but I think Luke overreacted.
Yeah.
Yes. He's becoming more explosive.
He became cruel towards the end of it. Of, like, a person who gets knocked up at 16 doesn't have the best decision-making skills. And it's like, all right, but you know who Lorelai is.
Yeah, she's not 16 anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is the executive manager of an inn. She is running a business on her own without any help from anybody. She does have a fantastic daughter who you love to brag about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's clearly worries the way she is for a reason.
Yeah.
To try to imply that Lorelai's not a good mother because she got knocked up at 16.
Yeah, it's not
that's
the,
just shitty.
Yeah. It was definitely set in anger. And the argument continues to the next day. It's Danish day.
Yes. Also, can we have, like, a moment of silence for that beautiful dinner that was ruined? Think of all the time Suki spent. I know that they would have eaten it, but, like...
All I can hope is that, like, Rory and Lorelai ate their weight and then some and all that food.
And had leftovers for, like, the next week.
Yeah.
Suki and Jackson probably took some home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all we know, Rory might have snuck out some leftovers to take to Luke's.
Yeah, but, the next morning at Luke's, as you were saying, the fight continues. Lorelai's like, I can't even go in there. She sends Rory in to go get there. It's Danish day, so she wants Danishes and coffee. that Luke is too smart.
Yeah. And this, we're going to see this scene over and over. Every time they fight, mm-hmm. Lorelai can't go to Luke's. And it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing with the kid was weird.
Yeah. She was trying to... So after Luke denies Rory two Danishes, coffees, he will only sell her one.
Bad business, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's... two petty people in an argument. Let's be honest.
I will say Rory has a very appropriate reaction to, you want to watch me eat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love her face when she says that.
But yeah, after Rory leaves, she gives her mom the Danish. She keeps the coffee. Lorelai tries to talk this random little boy into going into the diner. And Luke sees her awkward. Through the window, like, holding on to this kid, stranger danger. Oh my gosh, yeah. That kid should scream and run.
No, everybody in town knows who Lorelai is and her obsession with coffee, though.
Yeah.
So this kid probably knows who she is, or at least her mom does, or his mom does.
They kind of just, like, look at each other in sadness. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Lorelai can see Luke, but Luke can definitely see Lorelai.
Yeah.
And it's just... Mm. But then Luke gets a call from Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's money missing.
Some things have gone missing.
Yes.
From the bridge fund.
Right? That poor bridge. It's never going to get fixed.
Either that or Stars Hollow has like 10 bridges.
And there's just like a constant bridge fund. It's not the bridge fund. It's the bridge fund.
Every bridge needs to be redone. And they're just going one by one. This is the second one, if keeping count.
But... So Taylor calls and says, hey, I think Jess did this. And Luke, you know, goes up to bat for him and says, hey, if he says he didn't do it and nobody saw him did it, then he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, good for you, Luke, right? Having your nephews back. We'll see how that works out for you, buddy.
I mean, how much money do you think was in that bridge fund?
I mean, maybe, like, what, $50? In, like, that's, you know, bills and
50 bucks.
Coins and stuff. He probably would have just grabbed bills. Yeah.
It's still petty. Don't do it, though. Don't steal.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's how he pays for his cigarettes right now.
Probably. Right?
It's from the bridge fund.
Yeah.
Well, we move on back to Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
Max.
Again after class.
I've got to say, as a past student journalist, I would have killed for an interview that was as, like, flowing as this. They have great, like, chemistry, you know, like, back and forth. They have a great flow of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory's recording the interview as a good little reporter would. But there is a moment, you know, when they pause the tape recorder. And it's honestly, it's heartbreaking. Because Rory says, I really wanted you to be my stepdad. And you're like, Max says, I really wanted to be your stepdad. And it just, like, oh, I'm so glad they had that opportunity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Lorelai took everything from them, so.
I feel like it gives Rory a little bit of the closure that Lorelai doesn't give her.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And it's, like, I think it's important that we hear her finally verbalize that. Like, I wanted you to be my stepdad. Because, you know, we've been rolling with all of Lorelai's decisions. Rory has just kind of gone along and been supportive. But no, she really wanted this to work. She liked Max and she wanted that. So hard to hear, but.
By the way, we gave a pretty, like, epic goodbye to Max in the last episode, forgetting that he was in this episode. So.
Well.
Hi, Max. You're back.
Hi,
good to
Max.
Have you back. Very different
Bye,
capacity.
Max.
But the rest of their interview goes really well. You know, Rory gets really interesting information. And I bet that
can
the article...
Can you guys picture Max as a clown?
No.
No, and see, like, I think it was a generational thing because my mom wanted to be a clown too. Like, and I just, I don't know a single person today who's like, I want to be a clown.
Make great life choices to become a clown.
Yeah,
now
gosh.
It's like, oh.
Remember when there were those killer clowns? Throwback
that
to early,
weird.
What?
2016,
Yeah,
whatever
16,
that was.
Maybe.
That was weird.
Anyway, so they have a great interview.
Guys, we go on to my favorite scene.
It's a good scene.
Yes.
Of any episode of the show. And it starts out with Luke waiting for Jess after school. Mm-hmm. And we'll go through the scene. First off, Jess looks hot as hell.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this sweater.
I have thoughts. They're in the fashion. We'll talk about it.
I wish he would wear this sweater every single day.
It's so funny. I really want to take this shot of Jess, and I want to compare him to the last time we saw Dean in one of those gigantic oversized shirts, where we were talking about how his body shape, his broad shoulders just make him a square. Jess's shirt fits him like it was sculpted onto his body.
It really does.
Dean could wear shirts like this and look fantastic. Absolutely. Just like Jess does.
But they're showing the two different styles of fashion that men were wearing at that time. And Dean is kind of in the boy stuff, and Jess is kind of wearing the man stuff.
Yes. It does get a little bit less mature.
Yeah.
Yeah, he starts wearing, like, button-ups. And.
But in this moment,
it's
incredibly good.
And I would just like to say, I know as a 32-year-old woman, sounds super creepy.
We were all the right age. It's fine.
I was the right age when this happened.
To be fair, also, okay, here's the other thing. Marlon Ventimiglia is 25.
Yeah.
Here.
In this episode.
And Alexis is only 19. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind.
Well, we're season two, so she's probably 20 by now. She might be 20, yeah. 19 when the series started.
Oh, I thought she was 18. Well, either way, she's like early.
They're adults. We're adults. Yes. We were teens when they were adults. It's all good.
Well, I think I was a preteen.
Oh, we were okay.
I think I was 11, but I was still obsessed.
It's perfectly appropriate when these thoughts were initially formed.
Yeah. Anyway, kind of. Other than just looking great.
He apparently stole the money for the bridge.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a thing. Okay, this is the line that I do not understand, will never understand. They do the Pledge of Allegiance in 6 different languages, 2 I've never heard of.
He's from New York.
First off, no they don't. This is Chilton Public School.
Stars Hollow Public School.
I'm sorry, Stars Hollow Public School.
Yeah.
And also, Jess is well-read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's probably some, there's definitely languages I've never heard of.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, like, do you think, I guess Stars Hollow could potentially have transplants from, like, New York or from another country, and to be respectful, let them pledge it in their native language?
I don't know, man. I don't get this
It's
one.
Weird. It's weird. Yeah. It's very weird.
And that would take, honestly, so much time.
It would.
The Pledge of Allegiance, I'm sorry, it takes long enough just saying it once.
Yeah.
But they kind of get into
a
fight.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Where do you think they're going? Because we know the school is essentially across the street from Luke's. They're on some kind of like random forest path with a bridge. Is this the bridge?
Is this the bridge? Because the bridge doesn't
look bad. I hope this isn't
bad.
The bridge.
I assume also, it's a bridge that cars go over that they're saving on the money for.
Oh, it's definitely not.
This seems like a very sound footbridge.
Yeah.
I don't. But yeah, just where are they going?
Yeah, anyway.
They wanted the scenic route.
They really did.
It is a beautiful route. I would love to have an area like that to just go chilling.
Everybody who knows this scene is like, oh my guys. God, guys, shut up and get to the point.
Jess wants him to stop. Done. All right? Yeah. He's angry. He yells at him. Luke gets pissed off. And something happens.
How it's going to be?
It's such an iconic moment. And it's so fun watching it. Like, watching it knowing that it's going to happen. Because, like, as an actor, when you're about to take any kind of stage hit, like, you have to not tense your body, right? You know you're going to get hit, but you can't look like it. Milo does an incredible job of not showing that he knows he's about to get just absolutely, here's my Gen Z word of the day, yeeted into the pond. Like, Luke just straight arm shoves him off, and he does a little flip into the water, pops right back up. And Luke keeps walking, like, didn't even happen.
The water's not even that deep.
No.
No, it hits, like, his waist or hips or something. It's, like, what, 3 feet, maybe?
Yeah.
2.5?
And he gets absolutely soaked because he goes under, and it's
Yeah, he's not prepared.
No.
No, and it's so funny Because
I love it.
Immediately afterwards, right? Luke is like storming off. Immediately afterwards, Luke realizes, I just pushed my nephew into a lake, and he goes right to Lorelai's house.
And doesn't even really, just, I push him in the lake. What are you talking? I push him in the lake. Like, he's so freaked out by what he just did, he can't even have an actual conversation about it for a second.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's fair.
Understandably so.
As Luke is getting there, though, Lorelai and Rory have a little scene. There's coffee sadness. Lorelai can't get a good cup of coffee. But basically, Lorelai picks up Rory's notes. For the interview of Max. And there's such a sad scene of Lorelai just looking at those notes and saying, like, he sounds like a hell of a guy. I sure know how to dump them.
Yeah. Which, I mean, yes, Lorelai, you did. Yep. If you think he's a hell of a guy, okay. But you made your choice.
Yep.
So Lorelai comes to marry or get close to being married three men in this series. And she says the same thing to or about both of them. You have no idea how much I want to want him. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows he's a good guy. She knows he would take care of her. But it's just not there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, good for her for realizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in this situation before it becomes bigger. Mm-hmm. But
back to Luke. Pushed his nephew into the lake.
He deserved it. I mean, it was not okay, but he deserved it.
I mean, it was satisfying, right? Like, that's the...
Oh, yeah.
This...
And I still love Lorelai's reaction. Can he swim?
Yeah.
That determines how bad this is if he can swim or not.
Right.
Because she has to know this lake is, like, 2.5 feet deep, right?
Well, it depends on which lake. I mean...
Right? This is true. What bridge?
Jam Hands is such an iconic rant to me.
Yeah.
Like, I remember it all the time. Like, that is one of Luke's, like, number one rants in my mind.
Because kids are sticky.
It's totally accurate.
Like, kids who have just washed their hands are still sticky. I don't know how, but it's true.
I have washed jelly off of Charlie's hand so many times, and then she'll put her hand on my arm or something, and I'm like, how?
Yeah.
How is this still sticky?
Yeah.
Why is my arm purple? How did you do this? We just washed this. We have not touched the jelly since then.
When I used to work at the school, the janitor knew that I hated waffle stick day and pancake corn dog day because there was syrup. Syrup is like jam 2.0. Yeah. Syrup is the glitter of the condiment world. And it is so sticky and awful. And you give an entire school a little carton of syrup and you find syrup everywhere for the next week. I get it, Luke. Jam hands.
But Jess is not a kid. Jess is 17. Well, he is still a kid, but he's not a child.
He's a year away from being a legal adult.
I sincerely hope that Jess does not have jam hands.
Oh, no. I was going to make a dirty joke. We're going to move past that.
Good call.
But Babette walks in, distraught, doesn't even knock.
Have you seen Pierpont?
Yeah, just doesn't even say my gnome. She just says that Pierpont is missing. And Lorelai hasn't seen him. Like, she knows exactly who they are talking about.
The gnome.
Luke doesn't. And no, because he's normal. As soon as he knows that this is a gnome, he knows where it is.
Yep.
And he knows that it is coming back.
Before he leaves, though, he tells Lorelai, see you tomorrow with your Danish, implying that he saved her Danish.
Yes.
Aww.
Very sweet.
They make up, all is well with the world, all because he pushed Jess in the lake.
Yep. Yep.
Well, Luke is on a rampage. He goes back to his apartment. Mm-hmm. Where Jess is still smoking, and he just dumps everything. Patches, nicotine, whatever, gum, anything.
Implying that Jess is not gonna smoke anymore. Done smoking. And he's
Luke
on...
Luke finds his dad voice.
Yes, he's on a tirade, a very righteous tirade. It is bonkers to me that Jess not only stole the gnome, but then hid the gnome in Luke's apartment. Like, if I was going to steal garden furniture for the sake of stealing it, I'd, like, throw it in the lake, right? I wouldn't keep it on my possession. Like,
Put it in somebody else's yard.
But no, Luke knows Cons exactly where to look.
Because later on, Jess does pranks, right? This would have been a perfect time to, like, pretend to kill the gnome or something somewhere else.
Yeah. Put a chalk outline of the gnome in front of Nosey.
Yep.
To be fair, though, in terms of, like, finding it in Luke's apartment, there can only be, like, two places
to
chat.
Exactly. Yeah. There's, like, the closet or the closet.
The other closet.
But no, Luke is just like, nope, you're going to school, you are graduating, you're going to work for me in the diner. Like,
you're
you
not
don't get
fall
to do
off
this anymore.
The deep end. Yeah.
Which is honestly what Jess needs, is, like, an adult who's going to give him tough love and give him boundaries, because he hasn't had that before. And I love when Jess's response is just, oh, I'm just going to take my stuff and go. Yeah. And Luke says, where are you going?
Out.
At least I asked.
He's figuring it out.
At least I asked.
He tried.
But what's so interesting is, you know, Jess is awful in this episode, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, we're going to get a scene between him and Luke where he just thanks him. And, like, I'm waiting for that scene.
Yes.
Because this is
with the payoff
what
has been
needed.
While,
yes.
Yeah.
But till then. But
actually, I think our final scene is, it's not, I mean, I think it's a better version of Jess than we have
seen.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
Because Rory, at the end of her last scene, went out because she needed a folder for her article. And so we run into Rory with her folder. She sees Jess. Yeah.
This is the Jess that pulls you in.
We know.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
This is the Jess that makes you think, oh, I'm in love with this kid.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Rory's vaguely upset with him. Because, you know, he ran out of this dinner.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Jess is very sweet with her.
Yeah.
He finally found somebody he connects to in this town.
And
without really knowing her.
Guys, I watched this scene so many times as a kid. I rewind it.
His disappearing act.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the whole, like, howl thing about, like, I read it about 40 times. And, like, I thought you didn't read much. What is much?
What is much?
Wow, what is much? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's Loved cute. It. I do like that Rory calls him out on stealing her book.
Yep.
She offered to loan it to him, and he had to steal it.
Takes it when she's not looking.
And he had to write notes in the margin, which she seems okay with.
I am not.
I'm not a writing in my books kind of person. I'd be like, buy me another copy because you have ruined this.
Right? Although I tried to be. Like, after this, I was like, ooh, maybe I should write. And then I hated
it. If a boy who looked like Jess Mariano wanted to write in one of my books, I guess maybe he could.
No. And she calls him Dodger after Dodger from
that
Oliver
is like
Twist.
The one kind of flirty moment, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes him a second to pick up on it, and then he does, and she's clearly, like, impressed.
Well, it would have taken Dean forever if he ever
would have.
Let's
library.
Be fair, Dean would not have gotten it.
So, like, even though it takes a second, that is way quicker than Dean would have done.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things that we will learn about Jess, is that, like, Jess is able to keep up.
Oh, yeah.
Jess is able to give it back, and...
Is that the thing? Is that Dean can keep up with Lorelai, but not Rory? And Jess can keep up with Rory, but not Lorelai?
Jess doesn't want to keep up with Lorelai.
Well, yeah, that's also true.
Well, that's the thing, though. So he chooses not to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He could, technically.
Whereas Dean... Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, and actually, honestly, looking at it from that point of view, like, it totally makes sense why Lorelai is so Team Dean later on.
Oh, yeah,
why
definitely.
Why wouldn't you want your daughter to stay with the boy who's weirdly also in love with you?
Right?
But that was Jess's first episode.
Yeah.
He is here to cause some havoc. Put a wrench in a relationship or two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Guys, who was the townsperson of the week?
Certainly not Jess.
No, I don't think it was Jess either. Mm-hmm. I do have someone. I think it was Luke.
I was gonna go with Luke.
brings in his nephew, like, unconditional love.
Yeah, I think on that grounds, it can be Luke.
He also pushes someone into
Did Luke make all of the best decisions? No, but, I mean, Rory obviously had a pretty okay episode as far as, like, standing up for herself against Paris. She's working hard on the paper staff. She made a great connection with Max. She was very gracious having Jess enter her home. But we also just gave it to her. So
this would be the third week in a row if we quit with Rory.
Almost like which is fine. The Gilmore Girls. The Gilmore Girls. But no, I'd say Luke.
I was torn between Rory and Luke, but I was leaning more towards Luke just because we had just given it to her. And everything Luke does, he is doing with good intentions.
Oh, yeah. Even pushing Jess into a lake. It's fine.
Outside of the one comment to Lorelai.
Yeah. Now I'm torn. Because that was a harsh comment. But no.
But it was it makes sense. After Lorelai also made some kind of inappropriate comments, too.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Tit for tat?
Yeah. Luke and Lorelai are always going to be slightly volatile. But Luke as a whole was really great in this episode, taking in his nephew. So congratulations, Luke.
Nice.
And after that, we have references with Sandra.
Weekly references with Sandra. Weekly references with Sandra.
All right, so for this week's references, I'm actually going to focus on the title of the episode, as well as the music that played. So first up is the title, Nick and Nora, Sid and Nancy. Now, this was mentioned when Lorelai is trying to explain the fight. Like, it wasn't Nick and Nora, it was Sid and Nancy. Now, Nick and Nora, for the younger crowd, is not Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie.
That is not who she's mentioning.
Different thing. It's a fun movie, but different thing.
It is a very different thing. Nick and Nora is actually from a book called The Thin Man, and I actually read it in the 2 hours that I put it up where I was like, oh my god, this is from a book. And I read the book. It's from, it was written in the 1930s. It is really good. I really recommend it.
Yeah?
Definitely read it. It's a murder mystery. Nick and Nora are this, like, married couple who solve murder mysteries together, but they're really sharp and witty. Ooh. So, like, that conversation where Luke and Lorelai are meeting on the sidewalk and she's like, do you need help? Do you need help? Do you need help? Right? Mm-hmm. When it falls off. That is a Nick and Nora kind of fight.
Okay.
Where they're, like, on each other, but they're also not being angry at each other. Mm-hmm. This is actually the first kind of showing of that bantering of, like, a couple that banter and kind of, like, are witty together, right? Mm-hmm. And it's actually became a trope from this. This is what they're talking about. Cool. I really recommend this book. It was a lot of fun. It was also a movie called The Thin Man, and this movie is very, very famous. They made, like, 6 sequels to the movie.
Wow.
There was only one book.
I know The Thin Man sounded really familiar.
Mm-hmm. It was,
outside of the urban legend, just so we're clear.
It was, William Powell and Myrna Loy. I hope I pronounced that right. And basically, these two are super rich socialites. They're also alcoholics. They're always drinking. Mm-hmm. They do nothing but have dinners with their friends and solve a murder. And also kind of have a witty repertoire.
So this is where Murder Mystery Dinner Theater came.
Basically. So that is Nick and Nora. They love each other. Also, he's 41 and she's 26. But, you know, that was the time.
Yeah.
But I recommend it. It's a quick read, only like 250 pages or so, and it's a little murder mystery. Sid and Nancy, on the other hand, Sid is Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols.
Nice.
Yeah. And Nancy is Nancy Spungen. Hope I'm pronouncing that one right. Also known as Nauseous Nancy by the media.
Okay.
Yep. So Sid and Nancy, this kid, Sid Vicious, he was born in 1957 in England. He died in 1979, so if you do the math, he was 21. He was in the Sex Pistols. It was, you know, punk rock, drugs, sex, rock and roll. That was the 70s. And he had a girlfriend. They were together. They were living in the Hotel Chelsea in Manhattan when one day, unfortunately, Nancy gets stabbed. There's a lot of controversy as to who stabbed her. Most people agree that it was, you know, Sid. Although there's conspiracy theories saying that it could have been a drug dealer or something. They were both on heroin at the time. They were very volatile. There was a lot of domestic violence. There was a lot of arrests. When she died, he had to go to the Bellevue Hospital. It was real rough for him. He died maybe 4 months later of a heroin overdose. They were a very bad couple, guys, is what I'm trying to say.
So this is a prime example of passion does not equal love.
Exactly. It was.
And not all love is healthy.
Exactly. Very toxic, very awful. She was 20 years old when she died. He was 21 when he died. It was a young couple who unfortunately went through hell together. So this is what Lorelai compares her argument to Luke to. This Sid and Nancy instead of Nick and Nora, who are, you know, just witty and bantering. So that's who they are, just in case you were ever wondering what the title meant. Now, I want to focus on the two songs. The first one was This Is Hell, and this is obviously when Jess looks around Stars Hollow. And this song was performed by Elvis Costello. So Elvis Costello is a musician. His real name is Declan Patrick McManus. Yeah. And he is from Britain as well. He's from London. He was also in the early 70s, later on into the punk movement. He's been around for a while. I don't have anything specific about This Is Hell, but if you ever want to listen to a song by him, listen to Allison. I really like it. It's a good song. And then the second song that we hear is Girl from Mars. And this is when Jess and Rory are talking, and the line goes, I'm in love with the girl from Mars, right? I think giving us a little bit of foreshadowing that there's going to be something romantic happening.
Yeah, not very subtle foreshadowing.
No.
Right.
And this is a song by the band Ash. And Ash is a Northern Irish rock band formed in 1989. They had, like, some modest hits, but they've never really taken off too much. I don't believe they're still touring. The last time they released an album was in 2018. But if you ever want to listen to them, that's who they was playing. It was Ash. But yeah, that was the title and the music. We don't usually get music in Gilmore Girls. So I feel like whenever we do, it's like they very specifically played that song. And Ash's song, this Girl from Mars, it was, like, on the Gilmore Girls soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they obviously thought it was very important. So, yeah. But after references, we have books.
Books, movies, and music with Emily.
So yeah, we still got books. We have another episode with a couple of books, actually. So there is a book that Jess carries and pulls out when he first gets there. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it. It moved too quick to find out really what that book was. We do have the very specific book that Jess borrows, in quotations, from Rory. And it is called Howl by Allen Ginsberg.
It's a poetry book, right?
It is. It is. It is a So the book itself is 44 pages, or at least the, I guess the Kindle version is 44 pages. He started it in 1954, and it was published in 1955, I believe. Mm. So Allen Ginsberg, so there's some controversy around this. It is a poem. It's a poem in three parts. So part one, Ginsberg called part one a lament for the lamb in America with instances of remarkable lamb-like youths.
Lamb? Okay.
Yes, like the animal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Lamb to the slaughter lamb. It's part one is best known for it communicates scenes, characters, and situations drawn from the author's personal experience, as well as the community of poets, artists, political radicals, jazz musicians, drug addicts. This poem book came out in the height of the beatnik phases. So it was very much in performing art. It was performed by Ginsberg, I believe, a couple of times, actually.
Okay.
So part two, he says, names the monster of mental consciousness that preys on the lamb. It is about the state of industrial civilization, characterizing the poem as Moloch. And Ginsberg was inspired to write part two during a period of peyote-induced visionary consciousness.
All right.
Yeah. And then part three is a litany of affirmation of the lamb in its glory. It is directly addressed to Carl Solomon, which Howl is also known as Howl for Carl Solomon. But it is directly addressed to him, whom Ginsberg met during a brief stay at a psychiatric hospital in 1949. And then there is also a footnote section as well, characterized by its repetitive holy mantra, an ecstatic assertion that everything is holy. Which Ginsberg says, I remember the archetypal rhythm of holy, holy, holy weeping in a bus on Kearney Street and wrote most of it down in a notebook there. And he said it as a footnote to Howl because it was an extra variation of the form of part two.
Hmm.
What's interesting about this book, about this poem, it contains many references to illicit drugs and sexual practices, both hetero and homosexual, and there was actually an obscenity trial.
Wow.
In 1957. Customs officials seized 520 copies of the poem that were being imported from England on March 25th of 1957. On June 3rd, Shig Murao, it's M-U-R-A-O, the bookstore manager, was arrested and jailed for selling Howl and other poems to an undercover San Francisco police officer.
Okay. Undercover book cop. Wow.
Right?
Do you think this is why Jess thought that Rory would go with him? Because she has this book about sex?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, at this point, Jess doesn't know that Rory has a boyfriend.
Yeah, no.
He really doesn't know anything about her other than that she reads a lot.
Well, it's also
and
interesting.
And the first thing he grabs is Howl.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he says that he's read it like 40 times. Something about it must have really stuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's also a controversy around it as well, that it was written as a performance piece and later published by poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti of City Light Books. And it was perpetuated by him as part of his defense case during the poem's obscenity trial. Upon the release, him and the bookstore manager were charged with disseminating obscene literature and both were arrested. And on, so final verdict, the poem was not obscene.
Well, that's good.
Poetry is not my bag. I'm sorry. I tried and just got confused.
I will say, I did Google it, and the entire poem is just, like, widely available online, so if anybody is curious about what absolutely tickled Jess Mariano to make him read it 40 times, you can easily find it yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Literally, Google Howl PDF, and it is, like, literally the first thing that pops up.
Yeah.
With my book, The Thin Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. I'm looking at it too.
Cool. So, free books for you guys this week. The Thin Man and Howl by Allen Ginsberg. Howl by Allen Ginsberg. Thin Man was not by Allen Ginsberg.
It was not. It's by Dashiell Hammett.
So So The Thin Man by Dashiell Hammett. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that was books. After books, we have Fashion with Jess.
Making fashion choices with Jess.
All right, so season two has kind of been a little bit boring in the fashion world. We still haven't had any really standout looks. This was another mostly casual episode, and I know that we chatted quite a bit about the episode, so I'm going to keep fashion pretty short. So, my best dressed of the episode, we've already discussed it. It's such a good look. I'm like getting choked up thinking about it.
she loves it so much.
But my best dressed of the episode is Jess in his after school outfit. He is wearing a light kind of blue-gray thermal long sleeve top and jeans. Everything fits him perfectly. He just looks so good. I don't think I've given a boy our best dressed yet. Maybe Max. Maybe Max got a special mention the first time we saw him all dressed up. But yeah, he looks great. My steal item of the episode was, surprise, surprise, it's another apron, guys. I just love fun aprons. I love Suki's rooster and chicken printed apron that she was wearing when she was cooking in the house. The rest of her outfit was nice, too. She had a red dress with a blue cardigan. And I mean, throughout the episode, there were plenty of totally fine outfits. When we first see Lauren Graham, she's wearing a brown patchwork floral tank with wide leg pants. It's a work outfit. I didn't think it really stood out either way. I mean, when we see Rory at the end of the episode, she's just wearing like jeans and a sweatshirt. Again, super casual. I did not have a worse dressed. I didn't think anybody was doing anything atrocious. But yeah, best was absolutely Jess. And my steal item was a apron. 2 weeks in a row. So that is a very, very quick fashion wrap-up. I am very hopeful that as we move on into the season, we get a little bit more interesting fashion. I was a little bit disappointed that we're finally back to Chilton because it means lots of Chilton uniforms.
Yeah.
But we will see. Fingers crossed. I know that they have lots of good fashion in later seasons, so hopefully season two is not just like a rough one. Oh yeah, any other fashion thoughts?
I wanted to say something real quick. The last outfit that we see Rory in, just the jeans with a zip up and like a t-shirt or something underneath it. I know we've seen her in a similar outfit a couple of times, but like that was my go-to outfit in high school.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like it's on point.
Yeah.
That is totally something I would have worn so many times.
And I guess we could give a really brief overview of what Jess wears because as you mentioned, I think it was Sandra, or maybe it was both of you, he is not wearing a leather jacket, which we will literally, like, that will come to define him, like, the leather jacket and, like, the harder material jackets. When he gets off the bus, he is wearing a camo print long sleeve shirt and a blue puffy vest. And he kind of wears a combination of long shirts, puffy vests, and jeans and sweatshirts throughout the episode. Clearly, it's just what he threw in his bag. Thank goodness he threw in that blue-gray thermal.
Really saved the episode. I'm not a fan of the puffy vest.
Yeah.
You're not a fan? Mm-mm. No, it doesn't really work for his character.
No.
But we're still figuring out the character. He will change. He will grow and evolve.
Puffy vests are only good for Marty McFly.
And season one, Luke, you guys remember my puffy vest rant.
Oh,
he just
looks
so huggable. But after fashion, we do have Stars Hollow Speaks. So we got a message actually a little while ago now. Kara, from Kara. And she said, "Hey, y'all, I love your podcast. I watched the show as it aired at Rory's age and continue to rewatch it. And now I'm Lorelai's age. And my takes have definitely changed during these years, which keeps things fresh and ever evolving. Since you've added your animated avatars to your podcast photo, would you be willing to say who's who for name to a face? Privacy concerns understood if not. Thanks also for the discourse. I'm really interested in your opinions on season 5. So, thanks for noticing our little avatars for one. Those are thanks to Emily's incredible cousin. So thank you for those.
Shout out.
And
yes, she's an amazing artist.
as far as who's who, so I guess what's the order from left to right? Left is Sandra.
Yeah.
Center is me, Jess. I'm the one with the pigtail braids. And then the right is Emily. So Sandra, Jess, Emily. And if you scroll back in our Instagram, we actually have posted pictures of ourselves from when we went to dances. We shared some of our favorite dresses. So you can see our faces in that. And every now and then we pop up in our stories. But hopefully that helps you put a name to a face. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
I do think on our new icon for our podcast, too, we have our names in order of the pictures as well.
Yes, we do.
For the image icon.
Yeah.
Just to help.
Once, it's honestly, 2020 and 2021 have not been great years for getting pictures of me. But maybe since we've gotten 10,000 plus listens, we could each share a more recent picture of us as like a reintroduction. Maybe that'd be a fun thing we can do.
That'd be cool. I'd be down.
But thank you again, Carrie. You're giving us lots of good food for thought.
And then I put up a story about, you know, Jess coming into town. And Why So Awesome just went simply Jess and then three heart eyes emojis, which I understand completely.
Correct.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
In case you can't tell, we are all Team Jess.
Absolutely.
I also put up a poll of Jess versus Dean. You'll be surprised to hear that Jess won. 19-1.
Oof. Okay.
Yikes. Holy. Yeah. Except for, I guess it's technically 19-1-1. Because Gabriella messaged to say Logan, not Jess or Dean.
Ooh, yep.
Okay.
Totally valid.
I bounce back and forth between the two. I get you, girl.
But for now, Jess won the poll, guys. Jess, you won. You won.
And then last, from Ninja Slayer, she commented on a couple of our posts. She mentioned, she commented on our post for Hammers and Veil episode, finally started listening to the episode today, love the discussion, and then our last post as well for Red Light on Wedding Night post, listened to this episode earlier today, learned a lot I didn't know before, I feel awful, I can't think of a lot of the things we discussed that day because it was so long ago, but I'm glad we helped you out. And then she also sent us a message as well. She says, I think it's really amazing that Milo and Alexis didn't have to do a chemistry read together, and then it was just right there from the start. Also, Girl from Mars was such a perfect song choice for the last scene and notes in the margins. Just such a perfect introduction for the beginning of this romance.
I agree.
And I think we can all do a hard agree on that.
Yes.
I do want to give one final shout out. So Ninja Slayer, she did a Luke's diner carving pumpkin for Halloween.
How cool.
It's on her Instagram. I gotta say, she did a really good job.
Oh my gosh, I have
way
to
better
check
than
now.
Pumpkins I carved. So way to go. Thank you for the comments and fantastic Halloween carving.
And thank you again to everybody who checks out our Instagram stories and likes our posts and comments and keep the Apple podcast reviews coming. Those really help us get our podcast out to new ears. And yes. As always, all of our contact information will be at the end of the episode.
All right, guys, I know this is the moment you've all been waiting for. It's coffee.
Yes.
Okay, so first and foremost, there is a scene where Lorelai orders a cup of coffee, drinks a little, and then Rory comes in. She's ranting. She takes the cup and drinks a little. So they share a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So I'm marking it down as half.
That's fair.
We're getting half this time around. So Lorelai had 1.5 cups of coffee, and Rory had 2.5 cups of coffee, because Rory decided to keep the coffee and give the Danish to Lorelai.
Has Rory ever had more coffee than Lorelai before?
It's very rare.
I don't think so.
It happened like when she had her long day doing schoolwork during that weekend.
Oh.
But besides that, no, not usually.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was a tough, well, Rory, tough couple days for Rory.
Rory did have a little bit of a tough a tough episode.
But that was this episode, guys. Jess is here and
finally.
I love the banter between these two, so like I can't wait for the season.
Honestly, it was so refreshing watching this episode. It just feels like the start of something new.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
We're finally getting into new people, new content.
Season one is so nostalgic. It's so cute. It's so innocent. Season two, though, we need the juicy.
The drama. We need the
drama.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, next episode, we'll get even more. It just keeps going.
And maybe Dean will be in an episode. I don't know.
Yeah. Who's that? He's the new Max. Dad.
Who's that guy?
Who is he?
He's got to be in the next one, right?
We'll see.
We'll see.
But anyways, this was Sandra.
This is Emily.
And this was Jess. And Bye. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can reach us on Instagram at townmeetingpod or email us at townmeetingpod@gmail.com. And now you can support us at buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting. Hope you guys enjoyed. Bye.